what's a book by the cover. It's sort of, it's what's in the heart. It's what's in the heart. Now, I just wanted to do something a bit different today. I wanted to talk about missions, and I wanted to give testimonies. You know, like, when I have a look here, I look at Robbie Green. Where's Robbie? Where's he disappeared? And I remember in 19... Where did you go to? 1995, you went to Thailand. Did you get enlightened? Did you have a good time? Did you? Robbie Green went to Thailand with me, and we went all over, and we went. And then I've got a friend of mine, Meg, up the back, went to Africa with us a couple of years ago, right in the middle of nowhere. Of course, Dave, we went to India. When did we go to India, Dave? Two or three years ago now. We went up. Where did we go? We went to UP up there. Upper Pradesh, you know. And we saw people get saved. We saw people get set free, you know. And basically, I've been in the mission field over 60 times. In the last 32, 33 years, I've been all over the place. And it's sort of, I can remember someone prophesied on me with me, and they said, "You're going to go on the mission field. You're going to take the word of God here, there, and all over the place." And I'm sitting there, and a man full of faith, I'm thinking, "You got to be joking." And you know, and you sit back, you know, and talk about lack of faith, and I'm thinking, "Oh, well, that would be good, but I don't know how it could actually, I don't know how it would take place, you know." Like, at the time, I'd only just been married, and I'd started my own business, and I was a bit sort of financially embarrassed, if you know what I mean. And just put my nerd glasses on. And anyway, my pastor at the time was a pastor called Bob Stevenson, and he said to me, and I used to go to a church which was the Hyde Park AOG, and he said, "Look," he said, "Tom," he said, "we've got this guy that is going to preach. Can you look after him in your home?" Because we had a house in Padbury, and we had a little unit next door, so we could put sort of visiting ministry in there. And I said, "Yeah, sure." Now, I just read a book there, and it was called Heal the Sick by Stuart Grimes and Les Holmes. And I read all this stuff about India and all these miracles that happened, and I thought, I've never seen any of that. I'd love to see that. And I remember once I prayed, I said, "Lord, I'd love to go to India with this man, you know. I'd love to see all this. I want to go to another level, you know." Like, who wants to go to another level? And you got to be careful what you pray for. Anyway, I prayed. I said, "I want to go." Anyway, it was only a few days later, and I got to be careful what I say. I've got to say it right on the dot, because if I go to the left or the right and don't say it exactly how it is, my wife is at the back, and she will correct me. And anyway, Les said to me, Les Holmes came and said, "I said, I see this book." He says, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, I know, I wrote it." I said, "You're joking." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Me and Stuart wrote this book." I said, "Well, I wanted to go to India, you know, to see all this. Did it really happen like that?" He said, "Well, yes, it did." I said, "Well, I want to go to India." He said, "Well, to be quite honest, I just got a cancellation this morning. There's 92 of us going." Wow. "I had one cancellation. We're leaving 6 weeks." And I said, without thinking, you know, being brain dead, the mouth going off and the brain catching up later, "I'm going." I didn't know how I was going to go, you know. Anyway, I'm praying and I'm saying, "Lord, I've just got myself in the most embarrassing situation." I mouthed off, which was quite common with me. It's getting less and less and less now. And I thought, what am I going to do? Anyway, the next day, it was a Monday morning, I got this phone call from a guy that was doing some construction in Ghana, in Africa. Now, because my business was selling floor coverings, vinyl tiles, commercial vinyl, carpet, I was selling. Guy rung up and said, oh, Tom, I want X amount of vinyl tiles for this job to be sent in a container. How much are you going to charge me? And I worked it out. I said, that's going to cost you $14,000. Cost me $13,000. So I thought, well, I'll make $1,000. And he said, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead with that. I said, thank you, Lord. I've got $1,000 already. Anyway, I go to pick him up. I had the car and the trailer, and I had to take him to a yard in Kewdale. But I forgot to ask him what colour. And I went in, and I said to the distributor, whose name was Graham Knowles, he said, well, Tom, he said, it's going to cost you $13,000, but I got these brown tiles. They've been sitting around for years. I want to get rid of them. If you can sell the brown tiles, instead of paying $13,000, you can have them for $11,000. Anyway, I rung up Gordon Jennett, and I said, what colour tiles do you want? He says, well, it's red dust over there. Have you got any brown? $3,000 within the first hour after me opening my big mouth, I had $3,000, and I said to Les, how much is the trip going to cost? He says, well, all up, it's a long trip. You go through the Power of Evangel training school and all that. It'll cost you $3,000. That was my first trip, you know what I mean? God makes a way. Sometimes it pays to be bold, and sometimes you can jump in feet first, which is a problem that I've had all my life. But anyway, that's just how I am. There was my trip. And of course, I got to tell you, we saw, if I told you some of the miracles that I saw and what I learned, you probably wouldn't believe me. In fact, I don't even believe myself when I tell it. God is the maker of miracles, you know what I mean? And I got to tell you that some stories that stick in my mind, you know? Like I went over there on the first trip in 1989. Then 1991, they decided to make me a leader. And I had 24 people under me. Oh, I was really excited. Oh, but then you got 24 problems that you have with it. And you don't get so excited, and I won't. Then we sort of, I'll move on, you know, because I'm watching the clock. My wife says, you waffle on. I says, do I really? She says, yeah, but it's all anointed waffle. Anyway, I got to tell you, we went through evangelism training school, and we learn how to cast that demon. We learn everything, but it's all head knowledge, you know. But it was so exciting. And then there was me and a friend of mine called Sam Kukovich, you know, big Sam Kukovich, great guy. And anyway, we were praying for the sick, and this man started manifesting. And this is 1989. And he's chucking up and everything. And I went to Stuart Gomez and says, look, there's this guy. He's demon possessed over here. And he says, yeah. He says, well, you've been through all the training. Go ahead. Anyway, me and Sam looked at each other, and so we went there. Now, we prayed for him for about 20 minutes, half an hour. We were exhausted, but in the end, we got the demon came out of him, and he was on. We thought we'd killed him, actually. He was lying on the floor there, you know. It wasn't that he got up, and he was smiling and shining, you know, and he was full of energy, and we were like this. Anyway, the funny thing, that night, that very night, we had a stage, and Stuart Gomez was up there preaching. And this guy came up with what he called a religious spirit, which was the same as we had. And Stuart got up there, and he says, in the name of Jesus, release it! Bam! Nothing wrong with getting excited. Okay. Maybe I should have had a handheld. But what happened then? I thought, well, it took us half an hour and we're half dead. It took Stuart, not going to do it again. It took Stuart about 2 seconds. And we went to Stuart and we says, how come we use the name of Jesus? He says, yeah, he says, but he says, it takes years to know your authority. You got to know what you have inside. We have to know what we've got inside. Yeah. And Robbie can vouch for that. He's been through it all. Meg's been through it all. Yeah. Dave obviously has been through it all, you know. And anyway, the funny story is, 2 years later, we had this place in Namal, and there was about 10,000 people. And I went up to Paul Carter, who was one of the administrators there, and I said, there's a lot of people here. And Paul says, yeah, there is. He's about 10,000. I says to him, and just before the service, about 10 minutes, I says, who's preaching tonight, Paul? He said, oh, you are, Tom. I said, no problem. Anyway, I got up there, and I walked up on the stage, you know, looking cool. I didn't have my glasses on. And I'm looking cool, you know. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I'm smiling, I'm thinking, I wish my leg had stopped shaking. Anyway, I'm going, and I'm sort of moving so no one can see my leg. Anyway, I start preaching. What happens? The guy comes up demon-possessed, you know, like this. And I said, in the name of Jesus, and it, bang, he was gone. And I thought, wow, it's been a good 2 years. You got to know what you've got inside. You know your authority. It build up, it build up, it build up. Now, the more you cast our demons, the more you pray for the sick, the more you preach the word, the more your authority comes and the more results you have. God doesn't care if you look cool or if you're a little short squirt with big glasses on. Doesn't matter. It's what's inside. Okay, I've got to tell you another one. I've got plenty here. I've just got to keep looking at the time. I can remember we were in Thailand, and I was with another guy called Paul Carter from England. Great guy. And anyway, things have changed now. I find the more people get educated, the less miracles you see. So you go to a place where they're not educated, and they just believe you. They feel the power of God. Their brain is not getting in the way. I never had that problem. And you know what I mean? And it just happens. And I can remember you get up there and sometimes you back yourself in a corner. Says, God's going to do this. God's going to do that. Yeah, back yourself. God doesn't let you. He doesn't let you down. But sometimes you've got to have the faith to know that God's going to back you up. Anyway, there was all these kids, seven deaf kids. They ran from about 10 to about 15. And I said, we are going to pray for these and they're all going to get healed. And we prayed for them and six of them got healed. One didn't. It's funny, you see that many miracles, you don't remember them, but you remember the ones that don't get healed. And I'm saying, Lord, why didn't this guy get healed? The next night he comes up, and of course I get up and mouth off, he's going to get healed tonight, and he didn't. This happened for about 5 nights. On the last night, I sort of my faith went down the drain. I said, somebody else go and pray for that kid. Anyway, I said, in the name of Jesus, and I'm just about to pray, and I noticed there's all blood and pus coming out of his ear. I thought, ugh. And anyway, he's starting to smile and he's starting to hear. Now, what happened was that he's brought all his family. Every night he brought more and more family. They all got up the front, they all got saved. That was in Thailand. That was in a place called Pitsanalo. So sometimes you don't question what God's doing, you know what I mean? I remember a Buddhist monk. One guy came and says, oh, my father is dying. You know, he's got cancer. Will you come and will you pray for him? I said, sure, I'll pray for him. He'll get healed. He didn't. But I went there and I prayed for him and I prayed for him and I prayed for him. Mind you, he's about 150, not out. But anyway, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying for him. And in the end, he said to me, he said, I'm tired. He said, I don't really want to be healed. He said, I'm tired. He says, but I want to know this Jesus. Oh, awesome. So we led him to the Lord. We found out it was only a few days later. He went to be with the Lord. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know what I mean? It might not go exactly how you want it to go, but there's a happy ending and God's in control. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. And you know, but then I've got to tell you what you've got to be careful of, which I went through. You know, I got a bit big for my britches. if you can believe that. And anyway, what happened? Well, Dave knows me, that's why he's laughing. And anyway, I hear all these stories about people praying and raising the dead, praying and raising their dead. And I said, Lord, I've seen every miracle. I want to pray for somebody and raise the dead one day. I want to do that. Anyway, so we were in Kampala in Uganda, and I think this is probably around about 1990, something like that. Around about 2000. And a guy says, oh, my auntie's just died. Can you come and pray for her? I says, I'm going to pray for her, and I'm not going to leave till she rises from the dead. And I got there, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And nothing happened. I thought, oh, Lord, this is embarrassing. Everybody's around me. God spoke to me and says, not all about you, Tom. God's got to give you a good kick in the backside every now and again. And then I realized, well, thank you, Lord, for not letting me go down that path. You got to remember, it's all God. It's all God. There's, you know, when it's 100% God and none of you, you've got it. You know, I'm working on it. I find it hard sometimes. So we're talking about missions. Now, this is my passion. Missions is my passion. As everyone knows, the church that I go to, I'm missions director. I'm missions director there, and I'm missions director at another church. I was missions in the missions team in Hyde Park AFG in the 80s. And missions is what I am. They call me a missions evangelist or whatever, you know what I mean? And but when we're talking about missions, there's two types of missionaries. There's partners in missionaries. There's the goers and the givers. One is just as much important as the other. You know, the person that says, okay, I'm going to pay $10 a month, I'm going to pay $20 a month, they're just as important as the guy that goes over there and et cetera, et cetera. Some, you know, like it's easy, like I've heard evangelists say impossible things. You should be doing this, you should be doing that. And, you know, you're putting all this pressure and conviction on people. That's just a load of rubbish, you know what I mean? There's no condensation. The blah, 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 I know that. You know, there's no conviction if you're in Jesus Christ, you know. But you do what you can. If you can go, go. If you can't go, support. I was in Kuyan a little while ago, and it's got, the book, the world's greatest book of Christian excuses. I thought, I'm going to buy that book. You know? Anyway, I don't want to go down that track. But so if you give or you go, you know, most important to give and to go. That is the partnerships. Okay, the givers. Okay, Proverbs 19:17. Okay, that's one. We won't go to it because I have to finish at 11:30. Proverbs, okay. Now, there's 29 verses in the Bible of giving to missionaries, giving to the poor. Now, I can tell you right now that when you give, sooner or later, God will give you double. And God never pays at the first of the month. I found this out. I had some people came to me once when I was in, not the church I'm in now, but the last church, and says, oh, we tried tithing and it didn't work. I'm getting off the track now, but I've got to say this. I says, oh, you tried and it didn't work. I said, how long have you been tithing for? They said, a month. I says, oh. You know, because I have to be diplomatic. I've got to say, oh, is that right? And instead of saying, are you brain dead? Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, and you just smile and you say, oh, well, look, why don't we just go down this track here? Because you have to sort of say something. You can be thinking one thing, but you have to say something else. It's called politically correctness, you know? But I'll tell you this story when I was in Uganda, right? I don't know how I got here, but I might as well have a soft landing. I was preaching in Uganda church, and none of them tithe over there. They're all saying, the pastor's saying, oh, he's broken. So anyway, I got three of the prominent leaders in the church up there, and I said, right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to be back in 8 weeks. I want you, you, and you to tithe every week. And if God doesn't come and bless you, every cent that you tithe, I will give you back. Everything that I make a commitment, I will give you back. Of course, I wasn't losing too much. I only get about $30 a week. So anyway, they all said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when I came back, two of them got up and they said, oh, yes, but this happened and this happened. And the other one said, yeah, but this happened and this happened. And I thought, crap, where's the other one? They said, oh, he's not here. I said, why isn't he not here? Oh, he works for the government. Oh, what? I need his testimony. Oh, no, he got a promotion. They sent him up to here. And anyway, the pastor said, for the next month or so, everybody tithed. And he said, but then it just weighed off. I said, oh. But anyway, the story was that now when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. You lend to the Lord when you give to the poor. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have. Such sacrifice is pleasing to the Lord. Do you want to be pleasing to the Lord? That's why we're talking about missions. You give to missions. Now, don't get missions and your tithing mixed up. Your tithing is one thing. Comes first. You always have to pay the rent. You know, if you don't pay the rent, that's the way I look at it. And then you decide what you want to do. It's your decision how you give. You know, your offering is your decision. There's nothing that guides it, only what God tells you. Okay, they're the givers. Okay, now the goers, Matthew 28:19-20. You got Mark 16:15-18. You got John 20:21. I send you. You all know, go into the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Make disciples of all nations. They're the goers. They're the goers. Now, let's face it. Okay. We're in very, very bad times here. We're in bad. If you have a look at the news, if you have a look at what's happening around the world, you know that you've got, you can't even get up in a pulpit and say, it is a sin to do this. It is a sin to do this. They'll lock you up. It's everything is changing around. They'll lock you up. You know, like homosexual, oh, that's accepted now. Look, it's accepted to be a homosexual, etc. But if you talk against them, they're going to lock you up. The standard is that homosexual is good. Talking against it is bad. That's the world. The standard is that, oh, my little boy wants to be a girl. My little boy wants to be a girl. Okay, well, you can be a girl now. Okay, that's okay. But if you say, oh, that's silly. He's not a girl, he's a boy. You're in trouble. That's how stupid it is. My sister rung me up about 2 months ago, and she goes, oh, Tom, will you join our brass band? I says, oh, it's the challenge band in Wanneroo. I says, no, well, I'm a bit busy, you know what I mean? And I like playing in swing bands, you know, a bit of jazz. And she goes, oh, but we need a trombone player. I said, I haven't played trombone for years, but we need it. And I told them that you're a brilliant player. I said, oh, gee, now you... And she says, will you join? I said, no, I can't join. She said, the bandmaster's a very nice man. I said, well, sort of a man. I said, what do you mean? Oh, he's a man, but he dresses up like a woman. I says, what? Yeah, he's one of them weird ones, you know. But he's a really nice man, or woman, or whatever he is. But his daughter, well, not his daughter. His daughter wants to be a boy, and she dresses. I said, Janine, I'll be there on Tuesday. And I've been quietly playing the trombone there for 2 months. 2 months. This is the calm before the storm. I can guarantee you, I'm going to be the most popular guy there for some, and I'm going to be the most unpopular guy there for others, but I can tell you what. Hell is going to be smashed in that band, I can tell you right now. You know, because, you know, it's quite funny. It's quite funny, you know, like I can remember years ago, there was a guy building a fence at our place. You know, this is 35 years ago, something like that. And I thought, I want to go and tell this guy about Jesus. And I went there, and he insulted me and all that. Now, I've got to tell you, it hurt. It hurt, you know. I didn't go about it the right way. But anyway, it hurt. Anyway, and I said, I'm never, ever going to be hurt again, and I never was. Like, I go up to people, and they've told me to go away. I won't give you the exact terminology. But anyway, but nothing hurts anymore. Yeah. You know, you can throw stones at me, and the stone will get hurt. do you know? It's sort of, you get that battle hardened, you know, and it's this thing that God does to you, but you have to take the first step. Yeah. How do you get the top of the ladder? One step at a time. I'll tell you, so my thing is about missions. Now, I can say now that, okay, you go back to, forget the notes, you go back to Noah, right? People were being wicked, right? It says that. And, you know, God didn't like it, so he wiped them all out. Except for half a dozen or whatever there was. You know, wiped them all out. Why? Because they were wicked. And that's how God is. God is the same today, tomorrow, and every day. Okay, then you go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. They were wicked. And I won't give you the finer details what they were doing. And what happened? God didn't like it, so he wiped them out. Now you get some kings of Israel. They got wiped out. Why? Because they moved away from God. They worshipped other idols that were wicked. Now when you look at the world today, and you have a look. Now when all them got wiped out, there was no warning. There was no warning with Noah. There was no warning with Sodom and Gomorrah. With us, God has given us warning after warning after warning. You got Daniel, you got Haggai, you got Revelation. It tells you exactly what is about to happen. It tells you exactly what the signs are. And I tell you what, they're right upon us. Okay, I'm talking about missions. If you're going to go to the mission field, as soon as this COVID is cleaned up, might be another year or something. If you're going to go there, go, because you probably won't get another opportunity. Now, I've got to tell you this. Most of you people here, when you die, are going to go to heaven. Most of you. You want me to tell the truth, don't you? And that's fact. I'm not telling you, okay, you know, God knows what's inside. God knows everything. You know, some people can come to a Bless Me Club. You can have your hand out, or you can have your hand to give, or your hand to take. Or you can look at things different, you know what I mean? I'll tell you what. What is it? Matthew 7, 21 to 23. It says, in them days, will I say, did we cast out demons in your name? Did we preach in your name? Did we do mighty things in your name? He said, away from me, I knew you not. That is frightening. That is frightening. Now, okay, I'm going to make you feel a little bit better now. And I'm going to say there are a lot of religious people around there in them days, with Pharisees, the scribes, etc., etc., etc. And, you know, they looked at things a bit different. You know, a lot of religious people around these days, you know what I mean? Not mention any names. But but I tell you, God's not interested in religion. He's interested in the heart. Now, this is a warning. It's a warning to the church. Most of you are going to heaven. But not all of you. And that's quite sad. That is quite sad. And don't live in an illusion. Like I preached a sermon at my church a while ago. Two people left the church. Four people came and said, "Tom, that's the best message I've ever heard." Two left. They never came back. They didn't like my preaching. They didn't like it when you tell the truth. It's a bit like the world today with the governments and all that type of stuff. The truth is the only thing that's going to set you free. Most of you are going to heaven. We won't talk about the not most, but we'll talk about the most. Okay, now we're all going to, okay, I won't say all of us. Most of us are going to heaven, right? Now, everyone thinks in heaven you can do what you want, right? Well, you can't. When you go to heaven, there are restrictions. Well, you're not going to be floating on clouds or anything like that, but there are restrictions. Okay, what can't you do when you go to heaven? For a start, you can't go to the mission field. You can't evangelize. Like, Lisa says, "What are you going to do in heaven?" I said, "I'm going to get bored." "You can't, let's see if we can find someone that's not saved." "I can't find anybody, dear." You can't give to missions. You can't say, "Oh, well, there's some of my pay." Because, you know, like it's going to be a cash-free society up there. You realize this. And you're going to say, "I'll give some of my pay towards missions." You can't do that. This is it. This is it. Look, when you're in heaven, okay, you're on this earth for maybe 100 years or something like that. If you're John Brown, 150 years. And, you think you're on this earth for that amount of time. 100 years, okay, and then you're in heaven for 10 million years or something like that. There's a little bit of discrepancy in the comparison. And the Bible says, was it James? James 4:14 says that you are on this earth like a vapor. Zoom. That's it. The time on this earth is to show your character. That's it. Bang. Then you're in eternity. You know, a lot of you people are going to go to you're all going to go to the afterlife. Most of you are going to heaven. There is an afterlife. This is where you decide where you're going, you know what I mean? And God is a God of love. Now, when God gives a command, well, my father died at the age of 92 a few years ago, and he told me a few things. He says, "Tom, when someone's about to disappear, they give the most important message. This is what I want you to do." And he spoke to me. My mother-in-law, when she passed away, mighty lady of God, she gave me the instructions days before she passed away. Most important, you know, if you know you're going, you just give them what did Jesus say? He said, "Go into the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick." That's it. That hell is real. Heaven is real. You know, we can't just keep going along on our merry way. Okay, and I'm not putting conviction on you. We know the thief on the cross. He died. You accept Jesus. Now, like I say, most of you are going to heaven. Now, when you get there, you're going to think, maybe I should have done this. Maybe I should have put a bit more effort here and all that. You know, you can't live in regret. You know, you get one crack at it. Okay, now I used to love boxing. And I'm a bit crazy person, yeah. And I know when I fought, when I was fighting amateur, I'd get four rounds, and I thought, well, I've only got 12 minutes here. I got to give it. I can't afford to hang around. I got to give it everything I got, and I did. That's why I'm punch drunk. And so we have to give it everything we have. Now, this is what I'm going to do. See, that 35 minutes went really quick. Oh. This is what. We are owned. all you people, most of you that are going to heaven, that are owned, we don't belong to ourselves. We have been bought and paid for. Now, now I'll tell you what we've been bought and paid for with. You haven't been bought and paid for $1,000, $10,000, $1 million. You haven't been bought for by gold. You've been bought for by pain and blood. That's what has paid the price for you guys to go and be with Jesus. And okay, it's the blood of, okay, it's a painful way of buying something. Okay, Isaiah tells you about Jesus when they put the thorns in his head. His head blew up like a pumpkin. You couldn't recognize it was of human form. They see all these pictures of pretty Jesus on the cross, you know, with his long hair. No, that's not how it is. His back was all the skin ripped off, all the blood poured. And his hands and feet, you know, that's what he bought you for. That's what he did for you. Now, what are we going to do for Jesus? And it's not so we go to be with Jesus. Once you accept Jesus as your Savior, that's it. You're going to heaven. Not when you say the sinner's prayer. It's when you say the sinner's prayer and you follow up with it. That's when you're going to heaven. I know heaps of people get up there and they're rattling the sinner's prayer. The next day, they're just as nothing's happened. And other people, completely different, you know. God knows the heart. God knows everything. Now, this is what I'm going to say. This is how I'm going to finish, right? If there's anybody here, and I don't want any, if there's anyone here that really feels that the switch has gone on, you want to go on the mission field, or you want to give to missions, or you want to support it in any way at all, because there's people out there going to hell by the truckload. I tell you, the road to destruction is short and wide. We are the absolute minority. If there's anybody that doesn't know exactly, I'll tell you what. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm just going to be sitting around here. You'll recognize me, the nice-looking bloke with the glasses on. I'm sitting here, and if anybody wants to talk to me, come and talk to me. Whether it would be about getting behind missions, or if you want to be prayed for, or if you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Now, I'm not saying this or that. I'm saying if you've got any doubt in your mind where you're going, you don't muck around. Just come up and we'll pray for you. Dave and Matilda, Dave. We'll pray for you up here. It is so. This message is so urgent at this particular time. There's no time in history. You take the thousands of years of history, and we could be out down to the last couple of years. This is a unique time. We can't afford to muck around anymore, because I tell you what. You guys are going to be tested in the very near future. Things are going to get harder. The world is getting taken over by Satan. And I'm not getting super spiritual. It's fact. It says it in the Bible. We're bruising for cruising. And the strong will, you need, we need community. The strong will prevail. Okay. Does anybody here that hasn't accepted Jesus as a Savior, or if you're backslidden anyway, or if you don't know where you're going, you get at the front and don't muck around. You might not get another opportunity. And that is the blunt, hard fact. If there's anything I've said that's not in the Bible, ignore it. But everything I've said comes from the Word of God. I'll leave it with you.
Why don't we just stand this morning?